All right, you're giving me a hard time. It's going to be a hell of a meeting. First, I need to say the set-aside prayer now. God, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for other peoples. Let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth and I can see your truth tonight and hopefully carry the message. Amen. A couple things. We're going to be here Saturday. We're going to read the Recovered Promises. They're not read at any meeting, but they probably should be read because they're the Recovered Promises. And so we're going to do that on Saturday. And on Sunday night, we're going to read where Bill W. took the steps, what happened to him, so we're here today. So that's where we are in the big book. We're in Bill's story on Sunday night. On Saturday, we're on page 84 on step 10. And tonight we started step four. I did the introduction last week. Just a couple things. I hope people know that I'm not an expert on this. I'm just giving my experience. If you don't like something I said and it doesn't make sense, just ignore it. Don't get a resentment. We're going to do resentments tonight. I'm not doing this meeting for anything to do with myself. I'm doing this meeting to carry this message, and this is what God's told me to do. I feel strongly about it. We're going to be starting our 12th year in the end of September. It's hard to believe. And tonight I'm going to talk about the spiritual disease. I don't write out, obviously the people here know, but if you're listening to the podcast, I don't write out what I'm going to say. It changes moment to moment. But I thought I'd talk about the spiritual disease tonight because it's not talked about enough. What is our disease? What is our problem? And then how does resentment in step four figure into that? And so I may go back and forth a few pages tonight, but you don't have to turn with me. But I'm just going to show you where it ties together, hopefully. We got to why we're doing step four last week, that it's an inventory process so we can face and be rid of the things in my mind that are blocking me from God. Anybody think that's a good idea? Yeah. And what's interesting is when I came here, I didn't know that was my problem. I had at least five people that were my problem, and I had a lot of problems. But my problem was that I couldn't get rid of my thinking. I had no way to see the truth about it. And it says on page 64, the middle of the page, we're going to take stock of my life honestly. We're going to take stock of our life honestly, but we're not going to look at where we went to school and this and that. We're going to search out the flaws in my makeup which caused my failure. The flaws in me and what caused me to fail in life and my life to be unmanageable. And all the flaws in me are all the things that are not God. We don't talk about it enough, but we fall short of God. And we have shortcomings. And we have characteristics of my personality that's not God's personality. And all those flaws are the result of my separation from God. And we're going to see them so we can ask God to take them away. And then we need to do this so today when the flaw comes up, which it will, I can recognize it right away because I'm hopefully in walking with God and I can see it with him and say, God, take it away. Just stop. And I want to tell you, that'll make your life better. But we have to know what's wrong with us. We have to be convinced that self, manifested in various ways, defeated me. Now, self means my self-will, my deciding what I needed to satisfy my instincts of life, completely separated from my Creator. Deciding what I had to have, what I was afraid I wasn't going to get, what people were going to do, what I needed to make me happy. Now, I had this when I was 5 years old, I'm convinced. I had a delusion that I could wrest happiness and satisfaction out of life if I managed well. That's on page 61. I had a delusion. Mother will love me if I can get good grades. I'll be important if people see that I'm something outside of myself. And I tried to fix the world in my life so I would get approval. I had the wrong person I wanted approval from. I wanted it from out there. I just need it from God. I just have to be serving God, and then I'll have everything I need. So self manifests in various ways, defeated me. So we're going to look at the manifestations of self. That's all we do in step four. It's completely misunderstood. It's not confession. We know we did a lot of bad things, and they're going to come out, but that's not why you're doing it. You're not confessing it so that you're getting you're getting this out. It's helpful. But what we want to do is look at the manifestation of being separated from God and living on self. And when I do that, I have a characteristics. My personality is selfish, dishonest, resentful, afraid, inconsiderate, judgmental, envious, lustful, greedy, self-pity. I don't have a card, but it's on our spiritual checklist. That's the characteristics of my personality. And when I have that kind of personality, it's manifested. How do I see it when I'm going through the day? I see fear, and I see anger, and I see hurtful relationships and how I'm harming people in relationships. Those are the only three areas you're interested in. Because we want to be able to face and be rid of anger, face and be rid of fear, and we don't want to harm anybody, and we want to be able, when we've harmed them, to make amends right away. Does this make sense? Now, if we don't do that, nothing's going to change. And so those are the three things that we're going to interview, we're going to inventory. And if you do it right, and it doesn't take long, you'll have tools to be free of anger. Anybody want that? I've done three podcasts on the site of Freedom from Anger, and we're going to be covering it probably next week or the week after. Very simple steps I do all the time to be free of anger. We're going to look at where fear comes from and how we get free of fear. And then we're going to look at how we've harmed people in relationships so we can change, especially in our sex relationships, intimate relationships where we've harmed other people, so we don't do it anymore. So here's the deal. It says resentment is the number one offender. Everybody like that? What it means is if I'm blocked from God, if I'm blocked from God, I'm offending God. I'm sinning against God when I'm angry. I'm sinning. I'm separated from God, and it comes across as anger. And it's the number one thing that blocks me from God, and it's the manifestation that I'm separated from God. Now, my problem isn't alcohol. My problem is my separation from God, which we call a spiritual disease. Now, it says, and resentment is just negative feelings, judgment. Now, people have really negative feelings about a lot of people when they come in here, and those are the big ones, but they can be anything. You can get angry driving your car. You can get angry at work. You can get bothered in the grocery store. Alcoholics get bothered a lot. We get irritable and restless and discontented. We get agitated and doubtful. Why? It's our nature, because we're naturally separated from our Creator. And so this whole program is getting back on the beam with my Creator. When I'm with Him, I'm not going to be angry. So it's a marker, and we're going to look at our whole life, how we were angry. Now, people say they don't have any resentments. Well, they're either brain dead, or they're on so much drugs that they don't even know what's going on. Because all alcoholics have resentments. Probably some will have one before the meeting's over. I may be on the list. Forgive me ahead of time. We get resentful because we judge. We build self-esteem by judging other people. We build self-esteem by putting people down, inventorying them. And we get angry when people get in our way. They threaten us in some way. They don't do what we want. We're running the show. We're playing God. We get bothered a lot. Now, resentment is any anger that lasts more than 8 seconds. I just made that up. But really, we're going to get angry, the emotion of anger. It says that in the big book. But we can't keep it. We can't stay angry. We have a choice not to be angry. And we have that through the steps. Isn't that great? So if you're angry today, you've chosen to be that. You know you're separated from God. And it offends God. And it offends your life. It offends all your relationships. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. People don't go out and drink. They're separated from God. They haven't gone anywhere. They're here. They may be going to meetings, but they're not, don't have a relationship with their Creator. And they get separated from their Creator, and they don't like the way the world is, and they drink, right? Anybody heard of that? So it says, from it stems all form of spiritual disease. Now, we don't talk about it enough, but we have a spiritual disease. People like to say, the part of the program that's spiritual, or you hear that a lot. We don't have a spiritual program, we have a spiritual disease. And the disease, that we have a program of recovery to conquer our spiritual disease. And we conquer it through God. The program doesn't conquer it. The program gives us the relationship with the power that conquers the disease. I hope that made sense. Because it says on page 44, I think, and it's not talked about enough at meetings, because if you have a spiritual disease, like Steve says, the solution is not coming from out there. The solution has to come from the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that the things we do in here at meetings don't help us connect to the Spirit. I think they do. When you're in the program and you're working the steps to seek a spiritual relationship, going to meetings reminds you of that, reminds you that you need the power. You're sharing how you're seeking the power together, right? And you can't do it alone. But on page 44, they tell us that if you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you're an alcoholic. Anybody an alcoholic in here? Everybody said they were. Good. It works. The program works better if you admit you're an alcoholic, and if you don't drink, by the way, too. But this program works for everybody. See, but we were talking tonight, normal people, they don't drink and not control how much they drink because they have fear and they're angry. They're just miserable human beings, and they're not fun to be around. And a lot of people come here, and we get spiritually connected, and then we still have these people in our lives, and that's a challenge. And you're going to learn how to deal with them when we deal with anger. But it says, if that's the case, you have an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Now, what do you think they meant by only? See, I don't think people understand when they come here that their problem isn't alcohol or the ex-wife or the guy at work. The problem is they have a spiritual disease and they need a spiritual solution. And the one thing about this book, the reason we study it, is because it says on the next page, lack of power is my dilemma. I have to find a power to live, and that's what the book is about. And it says the power solves my problem. Now, people always wonder, well, what does that mean? The power solves your problem. Well, if your problem is you have no power in your life over alcohol, you have no power to run your life, if you have God in your life, running your life, you have no problems anymore. You just have situations, and you and God handle what comes along. And so it says in the paragraph on 44, it says, to be an alcoholic of the hopeless variety, what makes an alcoholic hopeless? They're hopeless all the time, but hopeless is that point when you see that you're either doomed to an alcoholic death or you have to live on a spiritual basis. And so the solution to my spiritual disease is to live a spiritual life. Now, I think it says back on page 86 or 7, no, maybe 83, you don't have to turn there, the spiritual life is not a theory. Anybody remember that? We have to live it. The solution to my spiritual disease is to live a spiritual life with the Spirit, to be connected, to walk in the light of the Spirit. And that's, we're in the darkness when we come in here, and we need to be in the light. Now, I don't know how to get from the dark to the light. The steps do it. The steps build an arch to freedom. And the arch moves you from darkness into the light. And we talked about that Saturday. I think it's, I've put it up, it's the world of the spirit, entering the kingdom, the world of the spirit. And then I gave the instructions last Saturday, and I'm going to put that out probably tomorrow, on how we live each day with God. And it's five or eight lines in the big book, tell you exactly how to do it. And it says, to be doomed an alcoholic death or live on the spiritual basis are not easy alternatives. But it says, if you're a true alcoholic, after a while you have to face the fact that you must find the spiritual basis of life or else. So people don't see that when they come in. And I don't know that we talk about that enough at meetings. That what we have here is a spiritual disease. It needs a spiritual solution. The program of recovery is how you find God. It says there's one who has all power. Anybody remember that? That one is God. May you find him now. Here are the steps we took to find that power. And it's a program of recovery to give you that power. And on page 60, it says, we read it. It says, we're not saints. Anybody agree with that? But we want to grow along spiritual lines. That's what we're trying to do here. We're following a path. Rarely have we seen a person fail who followed their path. It can't be your path. And their path is this program of recovery that gave them a relationship with God. And it moves you from the darkness into the light. And it's all scriptural. This program is all scriptural on how to get a relationship with your Creator. And it can be the Creator of your choice. And he will reveal himself to you. You don't have to worry about that. It says we want to grow along spiritual lines. And we have set guides to progress. We want to progress in the spiritual life and move forward. Because Steve says if you don't move forward, it hurts going backward. Right? And so it says, from the resentment stems all forms of spiritual dis-ease. Now, spiritual dis-ease, I'm at dis-ease with the Spirit. Ease, I'm not at ease with God. I'm dis-ease with God. Now, dis-ease with God didn't work for me. Did it work for any of you? And so my problem is my dis-ease with God so that I'll be at ease with God. And I'll be connected. It's not a complicated program. And the instructions on the steps are not very complicated either, but people have to understand what you're trying to do here. And it says that stem all forms of the spiritual disease, all of the problems that we have. Anybody have conflicts in their life? Anybody remember the bedevilments? I'll read them. They may not apply to anybody else in the room, but I had them. It says, I was having trouble with personal relationships. Did you have any relationships besides with yourself that were good when you came in here? Couldn't control our emotional natures. That's a bad thing, by the way. It means you can't control how you feel about anything. Prey to misery and depression. Couldn't make a living. Feeling of uselessness. Full of fear. Unhappy. Couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. And they talk about the solution of these bedevilments. And guess what the next paragraph says?
What page are you on?
52. Sorry. Forgive me. Mark, you didn't remind me. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. You get it? So the solution to the bedevilments is a simple reliance on the spirit of the universe. See how it all ties together? So in step four, we're beginning to look at the spiritual disease, how the spiritual disease looks. Now, I was a doctor, so I took care of diseases. And somebody would have a disease, and they may look like they lost 90 pounds, and they couldn't eat, and they're throwing up blood. But their real problem is they have a big gastric cancer. And unless you treat the cancer, those symptoms aren't going to go away. In the fourth step, we're looking at the symptoms of the disease, anger, fear, harming others. And we're going to go to the root cause, which was my selfishness and self-centeredness manifested by a personality characteristics that caused me to have those symptoms. And we're going to change our personality in AA from my personality to God's personality. Are we going to do it perfectly? No. But we're going to want to do it. We read at each meeting, God can and will if he sought. Anybody ever heard that? He can do it if we seek him. So we have to earnestly seek him and go to any length, right, for this solution. And if we seek him, then we get unseparated all the time. We are like an airplane that's off course all day long as alcoholics. And we use these steps to get back on the beam with God all day long. Now, some days you can get way out there, right? And some days you can stay pretty close to the beam. But what you want to do is have your direction pointed towards your relationship with God all the time. That's why when we read the instructions on step 11, it says when you wake up, you ask God to direct your thinking right away before you plan anything, because your plans are no good. And so we try to, it's a very simple way of living which works. And actually, the more you do it, you see how easy it is. You can see when yourself is manifesting, you can stop, you can ask God to remove it, you can change how you're reacting to things almost immediately if you do it. We don't always do it. We don't do it perfectly, but we're better than we used to be, right? And we continue to change and we grow. This is of growth. And in the beginning, it's very hard because you've never done this before. I think Jan's sitting right behind me. Jan told me like 13 years ago that spiritual growth is like when you start to work out. Remember, Jan? You're not good at your spiritual. You don't know how to do it. So when you start, you don't run a marathon the first day in AA spiritually. You have to start out with exercising and you have to keep training. And the more you do it, the more you grow. That's why it's a continuous program of recovery. And for we're not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. So our problem is our spiritual illness, our spiritual disease, our separation from God, our living self-centered lives. Now it says, when we straighten out the spiritual illness, then we straighten out mentally and physically. Now, how was I mentally sick? Well, don't ask anybody who knows me. But I was mentally sick because, one, I believed my thinking. I thought it was true. And I was mentally sick because I couldn't see the truth about alcohol. And I was mentally sick because I was full of fear, and I was angry all the time, right? And so, I couldn't keep from drinking. Anybody else have that problem? And then I was physically ill. I was physically ill from the disease, but I was physically ill with the world. I was in conflict with everybody and everything. And mentally, I was in conflict with myself. And so it says, when we straighten out spiritually, then we straighten out mentally and physically. We can see the truth about our thinking, and we amend ourselves with the world in steps 8 and 9, right? In steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, we get right with our mind. We see the personality characteristics that we want to give to God, and then we have a relationship with God. So I don't know if that made sense. I don't know if I rambled too much, but... And the other thing that I was thinking about, I've been studying the scriptures, and you know, God to me is a love. My relationship with God is represented by how much I love his children. And I have to have love for everyone. If I'm not with God. So I told Grady, and we wrote it down, and Stu at 5:45 today, that I was not going to judge anymore. And we weren't going to do AA gossip. It's 8 o'clock and we've been pretty good. We made an hour and a half. But the point is that I want to love everybody. I want to see everybody as a child of God. I want to see everybody as a spiritual human being. We all have our personalities. If I have love and I bring love in any situation, I've said this before, I'll get love back. if I bring Michael and anger and hatred in any situation, I'm going to get it back. And so that's what we're trying to do, is change our personality. And it says in the big book, on page 84, love and tolerance of others is our code. So if I'm connected to God and I'm in the world of spirit, I'm going to be loving and tolerant. If I'm not, I'm going to be irritable, restless, and discontented, and angry and fearful. So there you go. And the other thing is about resentment. You can't have love and hate at the same time. It's not possible. So if you're angry at anybody, you're not being loving, and you're separated from God. And that's why it's the number one offender, because it blocks us from the power. All right, it says in dealing with resentments. Now, resentments, a lot of people don't know what their resentments are. And they say they don't have any. And it could be anybody that ever bothered you in the past, anybody that caused you to feel any kind of negative feelings to them. And then, of course, there are the big resentments, the big feelings of negativity. But we have a lot of resentments. I don't know about you, but there was always people who bothered me. And they were usually people that threatened my self-esteem. And so they would bother me because I thought I wasn't good enough in some way in my head, or they didn't like me. It was all in here. And so it says, and with dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. So a lot of people don't know who they're angry at. So I say it's very simple. All your relatives, doesn't mean you resent them, but look at them. Look at the names and see if any of them bother you. Anybody you ever had a relationship with, anybody you worked with, anybody you went to school with. I don't know about you, but I can come up with a lot of them, and I see more and more as I'm retired, and I look back, I'll say, gee, you know, why did that one bother me, or this one, or why did I do that? And you don't have to put them all down. It's not a contest. But you want to see the pattern of your life, how angry you have been, because you'll see how your anger controlled your life, not you. And these other people were controlling you through their anger. And so you list them on paper. Anybody find that too complicated? No. It doesn't say what kind of paper. It doesn't say what kind of pen. I think it's important that you get them out of your head. I've heard some people do it in their mind, which is ridiculous because my mind's the problem in the first place. And so I have to get it out of my mind and get it on paper so somebody can look at it. Now, what's really, I don't know if it's fun, but when you do a four-step with somebody, they usually have the top five, right? And they make sense when they write them down. And they you know, if you would read what they wrote, you would say, boy, this person's really, you know, they deserve it, right? And then you have them look at it, and after 5 minutes, they could see that maybe that really wasn't all true. It's just the way they saw it. And what did they do to contribute to that? And so you can change the way you've seen somebody that you've been angry at for a long time in 10 or 15 minutes. You know, and it happens. It doesn't mean it's going to happen with everyone, but you can do it. So the first instruction is you put them on paper. You listed people or institution or principles with whom we were angry. I've wondered, what are the principles? I got one, alimony. Right? Child support, the IRS, speed limits. You know, there are a lot of principles. Some people don't like the Ten Commandments. Institutions could be like the IRS, the police force, the people at your high school or college. It's endless. And then the people with whom we were angry. Now notice the wording there, with whom we were angry. You don't have to be angry at the moment to have the resentment. But you look back on people who bothered you. When you think about them, you still get a little unease. But at the time, they dominated you. So over time, you may not have it as much, but you can see how at that point, they were controlling your life, not God. And so it's important to try to see the pattern. And it's not every name and exactly what they did that made you angry, or they're going to write it, but it's how you were bothered so much by human beings in your life and how you then caused all of it. All the resentments have to do with fear, self-centered fear, and they all arise out of ourselves. And then you're going to write why you were angry. And then you're going to write what was threatened. I didn't know any of this till I actually listened to Joe and Charlie and started doing this. If I'm not threatened in some way, I never get angry. Now, what do I mean by that? If somebody threatens what I want in my sex life, I get angry. If they threaten what I need for material happiness, I get angry. If they threaten my emotional, what I think I need emotionally to be happy, I get angry. If they threaten my self-esteem, which was always threatened, because my self-esteem was either too high or too low, I got angry. And then my pride. I don't know about you, but a lot of alcoholics have excessive intellectual pride, and excessive pride, and our pride is always threatened, and then we get afraid, and then we get angry. And my ambitions and my personal relationships. So he says, was it your self-esteem, your pocketbook, money, ambitions, or personal relations, including sex, were hurt or threatened? So we were sore, we were burned up. Now, I've given out this stupid handout 80 million times. I don't know if anybody's ever looked at it. I probably printed 1,000 of them. It says, what makes up self-will? What is self-will? And it shows self in the center, the instincts of life, and what are the wrongs? And so when you do your resentment inventory in the third column, you look at all these areas and see which one was threatened. And then you'll see how I was walking around running the world being afraid all the time and feeling threatened all the time. So the solution to that is to have God at the center of your life, and then He's the center of your life, and you're not threatened all the time by you feeling your instincts of life. You've given your life to God. Now, there's something that in the big book that I don't know if we pay a lot of attention to. We love the third step. Anybody love the third step? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever say it? Right. Good prayer, right? Mm-hmm. There's a warning. It says, remember, before we take this step, we're going to abandon ourselves utterly to Him. And AA is a program to keep abandoning yourselves utterly to God. And when you're not abandoning yourself utterly to God, whatever you're holding back is going to cause you resentment, fear, and harming others. You see how it works? So I'm going to stop there. And next week we're going to pick up, we're going to look at the examples, we're going to look at how resentment and anger is killing us, and then we may get to how we get free of anger. So I hope you'll enjoy it. I hope this was helpful. Thank you.